Our next speaker is from International Crop Research Institute for the semi-arid tropicals in India, Harid Buddhapail. His topic on the exploiting agrobiodiversity to meet new challenges.
Thank you and good morning, everybody. In my presentation, what I would be doing is first looking for certain kind of challenges which agriculture in general will face in 21st century, particularly in context with climate change, and how germplasm as a resource, particularly for enhancement program, can contribute its might. I'll take just few examples from chickpea and peanuts, but this would apply for several other crops of ICRISET mandate crops like pigeon pea, sorghum, pearl millet. And to start, I will also take certain examples of bacteria, how some of these bacterial collection which ICRISET have can be exploited. Okay, so in the 21st centuries, as we now recognize that there would be at least 1 billion people would be hungry and malnutrition would be affecting them. There would be dwindling resources and climate change would impact agriculture, and this will really demand a kind of novel germplasm. And the germplasm research, particularly to identify these genetically diverse sources and from cultivated as well as from wild relatives, how they can be used to overcome these challenges. And these are some of the challenges which would be there. There would be rising temperature and heat stress. We are already facing this in case of chickpea, which was, if you grow chickpea at ICRISET, it was taking 75 to 80 days to mature. But because of slight increase in temperature in last 15, 20 years, there is a decrease in growing period, and yields are decreasing for chickpea. So this we are already experiencing. There would be reduced access to water and shifting precipitation and runoff, altered pest and diseases and weed patterns, and more frequent and high intensity floods and droughts. And then there would be biodiversity loss consequently. What kind of germplasm resources are available? And we know that there are 6 million germplasm lines or accessions conserved in about 1,500 gene bank. And the second state of the world report is coming, which estimates that the germplasm number accessions is increasing, and it's about 7 million at present. And 12% of them are conserved in the CG gene banks, 11 gene bank. And ICRISET gene bank is one of the largest, have about 119,691 from 144 countries. Our 5 mandate crops are sorghum, pearl millet, chickpea, pigeon pea, and groundnut, on which our mandate is enhancement or improvement mandate. The rest 6, the one you find, finger millet, foxtail, proso, little and kodo, and barnyard millets, these are the small millet germplasm we do have. We work on germplasm, but not improvement program on these crops. In most crops, including in the international centers, the use of germplasm has been horribly low. Not more than 1% of the germplasm has been used in any crop in any breeding program. And this I say with full conviction. I myself have been a peanut breeder for almost 2 decades. And very little germplasm I used as long as I was a peanut breeder. Simultaneously, for a few years, I worked as a peanut breeder as well as a germplasm man, and then I realized what I was lacking. And this basically is because of limited diversity available in the breeders' collections, and more than that, lack of reliable information on the germplasm lines, which can convince a plant breeder to use certain lines. Of course, there is inadequate linkage between breeding programs and gene bank and other users of the germplasm. And really, to overcome information-related problem that 36,000, 37,000 of sorghum germplasm we do have, what kind of information, reliable information we can have on them, particularly for the traits which breeders are which are important for the breeders and which requires multi-location evaluation. So, to overcome that, core collection concept was given, that if you can have the diversity in about 10% of those accessions, that can be repeatedly evaluated and a reliable kind of information can be get, can be obtained. Perhaps breeder would be more inclined to use that than germplasm. And we did develop the core collection all in almost all our crop, mandate crop, five mandate crops, and two small millets also. But then we realized that, look, it is not going to help anybody if your core collection itself is about 2,000 or 3,000 germplasm lines. Iri germplasm is 109,980 germplasm lines. So even that core collection there would be about 10,000. And it's anybody's guess how a breeder is going to evaluate that kind of stuff. So we struggled with chickpea, and chickpea was about 2,000. And when I planted that, let me see whether as a plant breeder I can get anything out of these 2,000. So 2,000 when we planted in the field, in non-replicated, it took about 2 hectares, augmented design only. And what kind of reliance any breeder, any practical breeder is going to put on any information which is coming from unreplicated one location data? So we said, look, this is not going to work. So we said that in not core collections would be useful, but not in all situations. And reason is that sometimes size of collection is so large that even core collection is much more. And then we came up with the concept of the mini core, which is about 10% of the core collection, about roughly about 1% of the entire collection, represents very high diversity of core collection and entire collection. And first our mini core collection we developed was in chickpea, only 211 lines, groundnut, 184 lines from global collection, about 14,310 was our entire collection, pigeon pea, sorghum, pearl millet, finger millet, foxtail millet, these 7 crops right now we have the core collection. Our recent one is sorghum, 242 lines representing about 22,473 land races of this. And in last 6-7 years, the mini core collection approach at ICRISET and elsewhere is being used for identifying trait specific germplasm lines, because that's what breeder wants. They want selected 5-6 lines or 10 lines which are particularly trait, and if genetically diverse they are agronomically desirable, that would be good enough. So I would be taking you through that how core or particularly mini core approach has been for abiotic stresses. I'll take examples of drought and salinity, and then biotic stresses, diseases, and even agronomic traits, including yield. Say this is a chickpea example. 4958, you can see here, was the line which was for 30 years. ICRISET doesn't have better line than 4958, you can see here on this picture. But when only 211 lines, which represented the entire diversity of the germplasm, were evaluated, 18 lines were found which were similar or even better than 4958. This was for root length and root length density. And in fact, we did this as a part of the composite collection out of 3,000. And then other side, you see three-dimensional diagram of molecular profile of these based on 48 SSR markers. And you can find that some of the line 8261 was the best drought tolerant line, and how diverse this was from the other lines, including 4958. Peanut. Using two traits, as a specific leaf area and a spade chlorophyll meter reading, we identified out of 184 lines, 18 lines which were better than the best of ICRISAT bread line ICGS 76 and ICGS 44 from germplasm itself. And not only that, if you see the performance of, say, the diversity of these lines, you can see that some of those, the one I have circled, they are the control cultivars. So control cultivars are so near to each other, so related to each other. And no surprising, ICS 44 and ICS 76, they are so close to each other. But then these lines, 18 lines, they have higher SPAT chlorophyll meter reading, low SLA, as well as they were genetically diverse. And third point which breeder do need is economical desirability. And some of them lines do have reasonably good yield and seed size and selling percentage. These are the three criteria a peanut breeder would be looking for. Then other traits like transpiration efficiency or water use efficiency. We have been started working in the last 3-4 years through phenotyping project, and 10 lines both under drought stress as well as under well water conditions, we have identified which are having very high transpiration efficiency. Root traits, have identified the lines with high root length within these 184 lines. No need to go to all 14,310 lines. Then stay green trait, we have identified again in sorghum that some of these lines both have SCMR as well as high stay green lines. Transpiration use efficiency lines, these are the two lines, those who have worked on sorghum would know that these are the stay green lines, say R16 and S35, the donor parents. And only out of 152, out of 242, has better water extraction ability that was measured by the roots. Transpiration efficiency in case of sorghum, you find again some of the lines better than the high control cultivars. Salinity tolerance, 211 lines, 12 lines we did find chickpea. You see these are again both Desi and Kabuli types. These, I mean, you might have seen the chickpea, the Garvenjo type is called Kabuli type, and the other colored one is called Desi type. In both you can find a great variation for salinity tolerance. So again, from many core only, these lines were identified. Peanuts, if you do not uproot it, there is absolutely no difference between susceptible and salinity tolerant lines. But if you uproot, you will find that tolerant line will have good, very well developed pods and seeds in them, while susceptible will not have. And in 184 lines, a large variation, you can see this side, there is a graph where is a large variation for salinity tolerance was available. In PGNP, we did identify 16 tolerant lines. And one point here, particularly in PGNP, we did find that our physiologist did compare this Minicore 146 lines and another 150 lines from the areas where PGNP is cultivated and salinity is a problem, to compare whether the Minicore accessions are having better tolerance or less tolerance to salinity than those which are coming from putative salinity affected areas. And to our surprise, and to their surprise as well, they did found that not only the number of accessions which were salinity tolerant in 146 Minicore was more, but the extent of salinity tolerance, the intensity of salinity tolerance was much more higher over here. And this was again done by one of our students, for PhD student. In foxtail millet, this was the project work I am doing again with BMZ GTZ project. And we have identified that 7 to 8 lines do have very high level of salinity tolerance. This Minicore chickpea accessions we evaluated under elevated temperature. If you delay the planting in Hyderabad, where ICRISAT headquarters is there, all through the life, you can really expose 2 to 3 degrees Celsius higher temperature. And based on 2 seasons data, we have identified 7 accessions which have very high tolerance to high temperatures. Agronomic traits. Those who work on peanuts, Chico has been repeatedly used throughout as a source of early maturity. And I myself used it at least 7 to 8,000 times in the crossing program, because at that time we didn't have anything better than Chico. But when we evaluated the core collection of the groundnut, we did identify the 28 lines, both belonging to Fastigiata and Bulgaris, we are as early as Chico, but have better seed and pod qualities. And when you have, this is a chickpea, 28 lines which were better than Hariganthars and 23% more than yield than the control cultivar. This is groundnut, peanut. 21 lines, both belonging to Fastigiata and Bulgaris, bear similar to Chico and Gangapuri. Gangapuri is again a Valencia type line, Fastigiata and Bulgaris line, other lines. And when you harvest them at 75 days, to see their potential of early maturity, these lines gave on an average 13% more than and 9% more at 90 days. National programs are using these lines in China, India, Thailand, Vietnam, high OYL ratio lines, high oil content lines, resistant to bacterial wilt, rust and late leafy spot, large seeded chickpea lines in Indian program, in pearl millet, Indian program. What has been the impact? Even at Icrisat, we are finding the greater use of germplasm in the breeding program. Another program is that we are using these wild relatives of chickpea, pigeon pea, and groundnut to enhance the traits, particularly disease resistance. And these are the 1,500 bacteria, different type of bacteria we are having, collection we are having. And then their beneficial traits are being exploited, both for plant growth and other traits. In sorghum shoot and root, dry weight was increased by 22% and 45%. And with that, I will conclude that the germplasm is going to be quite useful in overcoming the challenges which 21st century does have. There are basically three requirements of plant breeder: trait specific, genetically diverse, and a possible agronomically desirable. And at Icrisat, utilizing the mini core collection approach, molecularly profiling those accessions, evaluating them for different traits, we have been able to identify the trait specific germplasm, and we are also utilizing wild and VD relatives for enhancing the traits, disease resistance and others as well. And with that, thank you very much.